Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Q4 FY17 earnings conference call of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Jason D'Souza. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Margaret. Welcome to Glenmark's Q4 earnings call. We'll start with the overview on the business. For the fourth quarter ended March 31, 2017, Glenmark's consolidated revenue was at $24,571 million, recording an increase of 6.52%. For the 12 months, Glenmark's consolidated revenue was at $91,856.81 million, recording an increase of 20.08%. Sales for the formulation business in India for the fourth quarter was at $5,769.32 million, recording growth of 6.88%. As per IMS MAT 2017, Glenmark improved its rank to 16th as compared to 18th as of MAT March 2016, with an increase in market share of 0.2%, exhibiting value growth of 14% vis-à-vis IPM growth of 9%. The India business strengthened itself across the core therapy areas, primarily cardiac, respiratory, and the derma segment, which all recorded increase in market share. U.S. formulation, Glenmark Pharmaceuticals registered revenue from the sale of finished dosage was at $1,004.46 million, recording an increase of 53.45% for the quarter. On December 12, 2016, Glenmark announced the availability of ezetimibe, the first and only generic version of Zetia, in the United States for the treatment of high cholesterol. The availability of ezetimibe is a result of the licensing partnership with Par Pharmaceuticals and Endo International PLC operating company. Glenmark and its partner, Endo, will be entitled to 180 days of generic drug exclusivity for ezetimibe, as provided under the relevant section of the FD&C Act. The exclusivity period continued during the fourth quarter. In the fourth quarter of fiscal year 2016-17, Glenmark was granted final approval and launched clobetasol propionate ointment, the generic version of Temovate ointment, and also launched tretinoin capsules, Glenmark's first and only soft gelatin capsule in the fourth quarter. Glenmark filed 9 ANDAs with the U.S. FDA during the fourth quarter and plans to file another 3 applications in the forthcoming quarter. During the year, Glenmark filed 20 ANDA applications with the U.S. FDA. Out of these, 9 were dermatological products, 3 were hormonal products, one was an onco-injectable, and 7 applications were oral solids, out of which majority were complex or niche products. In the fiscal year 2016-17, Glenmark was granted approvals for 17 ANDAs comprising of 11 final approvals and 6 tentative approvals. During the last 4 months, Glenmark's Goa and Baddi manufacturing facility was inspected by the US FDA. The Baddi manufacturing facility at Himachal Pradesh did not receive any observation. The Goa manufacturing facility received 4 observations, which we have responded to the US FDA. At this point in time, we do not have any outstanding items with the US FDA regarding these plants. For the fourth quarter, revenue of the Africa, Asia and CIS region was $2,889.37 million, recording a decrease of 3.06%. In the fourth quarter of the financial year, the Russian subsidiary recorded moderate secondary sales growth vis-à-vis the same period last year, with YTD March 17 secondary sales growth of 33%. According to IMS MAT February 17 data, Glenmark Russia ranks 42, with the fourth generic position in the top 25 companies in the Russian pharmaceutical market. During the quarter, Glenmark launched Mometrino, a nasal spray, in the Russian market. For the fourth quarter, the Asia region recorded a below-average performance. The Africa region's performance was also average, and Glenmark launched 3 products during the quarter in the region. The subsidiaries of South Africa and Kenya recorded good secondary sales growth during the quarter. Europe operations. Glenmark's Europe operations for the fourth quarter was at $2,297.80 million, recording a decrease of 15.06%. The growth was impacted due to the currency depreciation of the British pound. For the fourth quarter of the financial year, the Europe region's performance has been mixed. While the Western European region recorded good growth in constant currency during the quarter, the Eastern European recorded a decline in sales. The growth in Western Europe was aided by the good performance of the UK and the German subsidiaries. In the fourth quarter, there were few launches, product launches in UK, Germany, Spain and the Poland region. For the entire financial year, the region launched 25 products across markets and in-licensed over 35 products. Latin America. Glenmark's revenue from its Latin American and Caribbean operations was $1339 million, recording a decrease of 44.55%. The LATAM region continues to be impacted on account of the sales from Venezuela in the fourth quarter of the previous year. While the Mexico subsidiary recorded good sales growth during the quarter, the Brazilian subsidiary's performance was average. Revenue sales from the API to regulated and semi-regulated markets was $1997 million, recording a decrease of 10.38%. During the quarter, Glenmark filed 3 US DMFs, 1 Canada and 1 in Europe. Glenmark also received an EIR from the US FDA for its Ankleshwar facility. Research and development, the company has a pipeline of 7 NMEs, which includes 2 NCEs and 5 NBEs in various stages of clinical development focused in the areas of oncology, respiratory and dermatology. The company also has 3 specialty products in clinical development targeting key indications in the respiratory therapy area. BEAT technology. BEAT is Glenmark's proprietary technology for the production of bispecific antibodies. Engaging 2X targets with 1 bispecific antibody is an approach to target cancer cells, for instance, by the redirection of cytolytic T cells. With the BEAT technology, Glenmark scientists have been able to overcome past production obstacles encountered by bispecific antibodies and efficiently manufacture these molecules on an industrial scale. Oncology assets, GBR1302. GBR1302, a HER2 CD3 bispecific antibody, is the first clinical candidate based on Glenmark's proprietary BEAT platform. Preclinical results from redirected lysis assays suggest GBR1302 in comparison to current first and second line HER2 targeted monoclonal antibodies exhibit faster and more complete killing of HER2 positive tumor cells. If confirmed in clinical trials, GBR1302 will constitute an innovative treatment for HER2 positive cancers, including resistant cancers. GBR1342, a CD38 CD3 bispecific antibody based on Glenmark's proprietary BEAT platform. CD38 is a proven, clinically proven target in multiple myeloma. Results from preclinical assays in comparison to daratumab and FDA-approved monoclonal antibody targeting CD38 suggest that GBR1342 has a potent anti-tumor effect on patient-derived multiple myeloma cell lines. GBR1342 is targeting multiple myeloma and other malignancies of hematopoietic origin. Glenmark plans to file an IND application to initiate a phase 1 study in first half of CY 2017. GBR1372 is an EGFR CD3 bispecific antibody based on Glenmark's proprietary BEAT platform. It targets the epidermal growth receptor receptor, a proven target in several cancers, including squamous cells of carcinoma of the head and neck and colorectal cancer. GBR1342 has demonstrated the ability to bypass KRAS and BRAF mutations. The limitations of current therapies such as Erbitux, Vectibix in preclinical studies. GBR1372 is currently in preclinical studies and is also being developed in non-small cell lung cancer and head and neck cancer. GBR8383 is a new type of highly potent OX40R antibody based on the OX40R based agonist. OX40R is a member of the TNFR superfamily and is expressed on activated CD4 and CD8 T cells as well as a number of other lymphoid and non-lymphoid cells. Preclinical data has confirmed a strong agonist effect on the immuno-oncology target OX40R in comparison to other OX40 agonists currently in the clinic. Dermatology asset GBR830, an anti-OX40R monoclonal antibody was discovered at Glenmark Biological Center. It is an OX40R antagonist targeting activated T cells and effector memory T cells. In a phase 1 study, GBR30 was safe and well tolerated with no significant safety issues. GBR830 is currently in a phase 2 proof of concept study in the US and Canada in adults suffering from moderate to severe atopic dermatitis. Initial data readout from the phase 2 study is expected in the second half of CY 2017. Glenmark is targeting a BLA filing for GBR830 in 2022. Development of GBR830 for the treatment of other autoimmune disorders is also underway. respiratory assets, GRC-39815 is an NC currently IND enabling toxicology studies. It is being developed as an inhaled compound for the treatment of COPD. It is an inhibitor of the ROR gamma, thereby inhibiting the release of inflammatory cytokines reported to be involved in the pathogenesis of COPD. GRC-39815 has demonstrated effective lung retention following drug delivery. GSP-301 is a combination of a steroid and an antihistamine administered intranasally for the treatment of seasonal allergic rhinitis in adults and children. Glenmark recently reported positive results from a phase 3 trial where GSP-301 demonstrated statistically significant and clinically meaningful improvement from baseline for the primary endpoint of average morning and evening patient reported. The most all investigational treatment administered in the trial were well tolerated and showed no meaningful difference in reported adverse events. The most common adverse events occurring in at least 2% of patients was dysgastria. Glenmark plans to meet the FDA to discuss the 505(b)(2) new drug application filing strategy for GSP-301 in the second half of CY 2017. GSP-304 is a long-acting muscarinic antagonist for the administration by nebulization for the long-term once-daily maintenance treatment of bronchospasm associated with COPD. Glenmark has initiated a phase 2 study for patients with mild to moderate COPD as established by the Global Initiative for Chronic Obstructive Lung Disease. GBR-310 is a biosimilar candidate being developed for the treatment of asthma and chronic idiopathic urticaria. Glenmark has initiated a phase 1 study which will assess the pharmacokinetics of GBR-310 in comparison to the reference product. Glenmark is targeting a 351K BLA filing in 2020. GBR-310 has the potential to be among the first biosimilar candidates to be submitted for approval for a respiratory or allergic disease in the United States. GRC-27864 is a potent selective orally available inhibitor of the MPGS1, a novel therapeutic target in pain management. A phase 1 single ascending dose and a multiple ascending dose study have been completed in the UK with no safety concerns. It is currently in phase 2 development. Some further notes on the P&L and the balance sheet. The R&D for the quarter was 380 crores, which was 14.8% of sales. For the full year, the R&D was 1066 crores, which was 11.9% of sales. The total asset additions was 700 crores, of which 160 crores was pertaining to the acquisition licensing of brands for the US and Europe region. Gross debt was at 4723 crores, cash was at 1056 crores as on March 31st, 2017. Net debt was at 3667 crores. Venezuela's cash write-off was 325 crores, which impacted the FCTR directly. Excluding Venezuela write-off, net debt would have been at 3342 crores as compared to 3678 crores for the first 6 months, thus resulting in a significant decrease in the debt amount while excluding Venezuela. Forex loss for the fourth quarter was at 139 crores. 65 crores was reversed in other income as there was a forex gain in the first 9 months and the balance is in other expenditure. We have taken an impairment charge on some of our intangibles. Under Ind AS, the impairment charge is 809 million and under IFRS, it is 2597 million. This is because of the difference in the carrying value of these assets in the accounting standards. Net worth addition has been to the extent of 669 crores. The Venezuela cash impact on FCTR was 325 crores, while as the net positive impact from other subsidiaries was 146 crores positive due to the positive forex movement. Thus, the overall impact on the FCTR was negative 179 crores. Working capital receivables position has improved significantly to 98 days as compared to 115 days for 6 months FY 2017. Inventory was at 87 days as compared to 80 days and payables is down to 77 days as compared to 81 days for FY17 and 96 days for FY16. Thus, working capital has reduced to 107 days for FY17 as compared to 114 days for the 6 months ended FY17. The overall guidance for FY17-18 is net sales for the organization will grow to the extent of 12 to 15% over net sales reported in FY16-17. With this, I would like to introduce Glenmark management on the call. We have Glenn Saldana, Chairman and Managing Director of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited. We have Bob Mastick, President, North America and API. We have P. Ganesh, President and Chief Financial Officer, Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited. With this, we would like to open the floor for questions and answers. Over to you, Margaret.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with a question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use any handset mode while asking your question. Anyone who wishes to ask a question, please press star and one at this time. The first question is from the line of Prakash Agarwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning and thanks for taking the question. So first question on Zetia and the U.S. numbers that we have seen. So we have seen a sequential decline from 183 million to around 150 million. So if you could help us, what has led to the miss A in Zetia and B the base business?
So I think, I mean, you know, as far as Zetia goes, right, we are originally guided to 200 to 250 million for the product. And our perspective right now is we are slightly below the lower end of the guidance, okay, as far as Zetia goes. As far as the overall U.S. business goes, you know, it's been a, you know, Q4 was again a tough quarter where you're seeing price erosion on the base business to the extent of, I think, almost 15% or somewhere thereabouts, right, in terms of price erosion. However, you know, we are pretty positive about, you know, the way the business is progressing. So in FY18, we anticipate YOY there will be a growth in the U.S. business, and that includes Zetia, right? So if you take, you know, Zetia sales in the numbers, YOY you should see an improvement you should see a growth in the U.S. business.
Now, looking at Zetia commentary, so you said we are at slightly below at the lower end of 200 million that you articulated. But, I mean, if we see the run rate in the last two quarters, like December and what Q4, so is there a lot which we anticipate in Q1? Is there a lot of receivables still sitting there? Or what has really led to the miss in Q4? Have we not been able to book the revenues or what has happened?
So, I mean, if you look at, you know, we've sold 3.5 months worth of Zetia, okay, and we still have 2.5 months to go, right, in the exclusivity period, right? So I think, I mean, you should see some good traction going forward. But as I said, as a molecule as a whole, so Q1, you know, should be clearly better, right, as far as Zetia goes. But as a molecule as a whole, you know, as we discussed, we'll be at the lower end of the guidance, you know, or slightly below the lower end of the guidance.
Okay, last question on Zetia, just trying to understand this better. So what you are saying is 3.5 months have been booked, but what we understand is the first few months where most of the booking has normally happened. So has there been any chargebacks or PAR has booked something and it is yet to come in is what I'm trying to understand, because you seem to be pretty optimistic on Q1 Zetia sales.
Yeah, look, I mean, we can't get too detailed in terms of how the product is going to break up, okay? But all we are saying is, you know, we still have 2.5 months ahead of us and we will be at the lower end of the guidance, right?
Okay.
Or maybe slightly below the lower end of the guidance.
Understood. And secondly, if you could help us understand the, you know, the Goa 483. So
yeah.
I understand that has been responded, but how, you know, are these procedurals or, you know, are you seeing some, you know, danger points, or could you help us understand?
So, They are all procedural, we continue to get approvals from the Goa side. So there's absolutely no issues with the our responses are well accepted by the agency.
So you have received approval post the inspection?
We have received indication that there will be some approvals coming through, right? Post inspection.
Okay.
Anytime now. From the
Great, thanks. All the best.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neha Manpuria from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question, sir. On the base business erosion, given you're expecting an improvement in U.S. sales, is it fair to assume that we're expecting base business erosion to actually, be much lower than the 15% number that we've seen or the double-digit number that we've seen in the last two, three quarters?
I mean, I think the base business erosion is not going to come off. I think it will still remain in the between 10 to 15%. But I think the good news is we are expecting a host of approvals coming through, right, which will continue to drive the base business growth. I think in the last quarter, because we had a couple of inspections, the approvals were slowing down. But now, again, we anticipate from Q1 onwards, approvals will start coming through again, and that will drive the base business growth.
And if I may ask, how many approvals are we expecting in FY18, a broad number? I don't need an exact, but based on the TADs that you have or your interaction with the FDA.
I mean, typically we guide to, 10 to 15 launches in a year, right?
Okay. And these would include some of the complex launches that we've started filing about 2-3 years back. Would that be fair to assume?
Yeah, it would include everything in the pipeline. So, we can't, it's hard to predict, right, given how things are. So we anticipate that, 10 to 15 launches, it'll be varied launches.
Okay. Second question on the net debt number. I understand the, Venezuela, write-off. But if, in Feb, we had indicated that, net debt will be lower than our March 16. That obviously hasn't been because, is it because of the free cash flow generation in the quarter? Has there been a lag in the receivables from, the receivables related to Zetia in the quarter, and therefore that should flow into first quarter leading to net debt reduction?
We can't give you any more visibility related to, Zetia, right? All we are saying, if you look at, FY18, debt will further come down compared to FY17, right? So we are expecting further free cash generation in FY18, which will further bring down the debt levels.
By how much, sir, would we be guiding a number? By how much we expect net debt to decline in FY18? Because we haven't really seen much of a reduction in FY17.
We can't guide to that, right? Also, keep in mind, R&D spends have gone up, okay? So we've got, almost 1.5% increase in research, right? So in the investments also have gone up, but I think overall, FY18 debt should come down below where we are even in FY17.
And R&D, would it be in the same range, about 15% of sales, or likely higher?
No, it's around 12. It's right now around 12%, so it'll be about 11-12% next year.
Despite the various announcements in the last quarter related to our specialty business.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you so much, sir.
Can we take the next question?
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kumar Saurabh from Motilal Oswal Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi.
I'm sorry, we can't hear you.
Kumar, can you speak a little louder?
Yeah, hi. Sorry. Is it better now?
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, hi. Sorry, I'm again re-emphasizing on Zetia. So, sir, you know, 3.5 months are gone, but this was a full 3-month impact quarter which was there. So, how should we look at the next quarter coming by? It looks like that we are a little more optimistic compared to the current quarter. So what could be the reason behind that, if you can give some clarity about it, and how we should look at, you know, what kind of number we should build in? That would help us, you know, getting a sense about that.
Possible to predict, right, as to how the numbers are going to shape up in the current quarter. All we are saying is we will be below the lower end of the guidance, right? So all in all, the
how
molecule...
much 10% or even...
So we are guided to around 200 million, right? So
yes,
we'll be slightly below that, right? Very marginally below that.
But I think the point that
as
you made earlier, Mark, is that the sales for the U.S. business will be higher than the reported sales for the as of FY16-17.
So YOY, we are still growing the U.S. business, right, overall?
Yes, because, you know, when I look at, you know, you did around... before Zetia, your sales was around $115 million in the second quarter. And then this quarter, we have done sales of $150 million in the fourth quarter. So then there is a base business erosion as well, and there is a certain miss on Zetia sales. Is this the fair understanding? And if and this quarter of a quarter decline, do you think that as you are expecting more approvals to come through, that should get arrested?
Yeah, I mean, Q1 should be a good quarter for the company, right, given the approvals and given everything. But I think, you know, there is a price erosion in the market, right, which is very, very evident, right? So what we're saying is last quarter was close to 15%, right? And this year, full year will be anywhere from 10 to 15%, right, in terms of erosion. So that has to get compensated with new product launches. And, you know, Q4 was... by and large, was an ordinary quarter in terms of approvals for us. We didn't get too many approvals. So Q1, now that, you know, we've gone through the inspections and everything looks okay, we anticipate a host of approvals coming through in Q1. So that'll help, you know, that'll help Q1, right, and Q2 and beyond.
But Q3 and Q4, there was only one approval that we got.
Yeah.
So between, you know, second quarter and fourth quarter, and how much decline we have seen in the base business, percentage terms?
I think it's impossible to give you a specific number, right?
The range also should help. Is it like more than 15% or is it less than 15%?
I'm sorry, we can't give you any visibility on that.
Fair enough, sir. Not an issue. Just last question from my side. So how should we look at the base business margins? Because, you know, we have done around 350 basis points more of R&D this quarter. And there was certain forex loss. So, you know, beyond Zetia, as we move forward from first quarter end or second quarter, how should we look at EBITDA margins?
So I think, look, EBITDA margins for this year were around 23-odd%, right? We will sustain that for next year also. FY18, we will see margins remain around the same level, right, 23-odd%. I mean, okay. I think the key message is, you know, I think what's happening is, you know, we are looking at the overall business on a consolidated basis, which includes Zetia, right? Because we really don't see, even in a post-Zetia environment, right, we've clearly said, right, we will be able to, on an annualized basis, we will be able to sustain margins and, you know, sustain the overall company growth rate, right, even in a post-Zetia environment. So I think that's the way to look at it. So if you look at this year, full year, we are saying we'll grow top line between 12 to 15%. We'll have margins, you know, in that 23-odd% range. And if you look at FY19 also, right, I mean, our growth numbers will come back, we'll probably grow ahead of FY18, and margins will sustain. So really, I mean, I think what's happening is the street is looking at Zetia as a one-off, Whereas we are saying, look, despite we are looking at Zetia as part of the core business, and we are saying, you know, on a full year basis, right? If you look at the business, it will continue to grow from strength to strength here, right? With margin improvements being consistent each year, and a lot of that growth is coming. I think a lot of that will come out of not just the U.S. market, but you know, there are other markets like Europe. We are expecting a very good year. India, we are expecting good growth coming in FY18. So I think, you know, the overall health of the business and, you know, is dramatically improving from what we saw in Q4 of FY17, right? So that will clearly reflect in FY18.
Fair enough, sir. I'll join back the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nishant Chandra from Temasek Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just a couple of questions. One is on the net sales growth of 12 to 15% for FY18. So this is on the reported base that you're looking at, right?
Can you speak a little louder, please?
Yeah. Jason, on the 12 to 15% year-on-year growth that you're looking at for FY18, the reference point is the full year revenues of FY17 and not an adjusted revenue base, right?
That's correct. It's the reported revenues of FY17.
Understood. And the second one I had was just to understand the cost side better. I was looking at the quarter-on-quarter numbers Q3 and Q4. There has been a substantial increase in the COGS number. So what I did was just added the three lines, materials consumed, change in inventory, and stock in trade. There's been a 30% increase in that line quarter on quarter. What is driving that? And can you just provide some background around that? Because that results in a substantial decline in profitability for the quarter.
So I think, you know, on the RM side, as Glenn said, you know, there has been a price erosion that is there. That definitely has played a significant impact. And second is that Zetia has not played as per our expectations. So these two put together have had an impact on the GCM. And on the other side, if you look at the other two indicators, which is, you know, manpower cost has been very much in line with Q3. And on the other expenditure, there is a increased delta in R&D spend to the extent of 4%, primarily because of the drop in sales. R&D has increased significantly during the quarter, which we said that next year we will go back to the 11 to 12%. Even this year we were at about 11.8%.
No, even on an absolute base, so without just common sizing it to the revenue base number, even on an absolute base, it is increased by around 10% on other expenses. Does it have anything to do with the with any currency losses that you are booking? Is that the reason why there is a step up there?
Yeah, the forex loss is actually sitting over there. So you have an amount of about 65 crores sitting there.
Understood. And lastly, just given the cash flow profile, right, the extent of free cash flow translation has been slightly below expectations. Does that change the monetization plans of some of the longer-term investments of the company? How is the management thinking about that?
Sorry, when you say monetization, what do you mean?
So for example, some of the longer-dated investments on the NCNB side, is there a plan to sort of reduce the intensity of spend there so that the cash flow translation is better, or is the management sort of going on that one with an unhindered momentum?
So right now, obviously, Nishant, the goal is to get to proof of concept on many of these assets and out-license a number of them, right, which will further bring in a significant cash injection, right? And if you see, you know, we've got three or four products coming up this year, right, which could potentially get out-licensed. So at some point in time, right? So, I mean, as of now, we are not majorly concerned with the intensity of capital being spent on research, but if things don't pan out, let's say in the next year or 18 months, right, in terms of licensing and stuff like that, then automatically we will reduce the intensity of investment in some of the core research areas, right?
Understood. Okay, got it. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question from the line of Chirag Dagli from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, you talked about 15% price erosion in the U.S. Is this widespread or is this, you know, a few product specific? Any color there would help, because the way I see, some of your top products still have, you still have a limited competition kind of environment for some of your top products.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I think, you know, we've given some color in previous calls as well. You know, if you take a look at our older products, the ones that are, you know, primarily the oral solids, you'll see greater price erosion there, and obviously then on the derm side, you'll see much less price erosion. But, you know, when you bring it all together and average it, that's, you know, we're up around the 15% mark.
So derma is still actually lower than 15% is what you're sort of alluding to?
As a portfolio.
Right, right. Okay. And so second question was on your Advair generic. Two of your peers have got CRLs. Does this change in any way our development program, if at all, you know, does it, you know, in terms of the momentum on that program?
So we continue to move forward, right, on all the projects that we've mentioned in terms of the our respiratory development. And I think some of the learnings, you know, that our peers have run into, right, we're clearly able to incorporate some of that in our development plans.
So this CRL is, you know, leading to some change in the development program, right? For us.
I mean, look, for everyone, I guess.
For everyone. Okay. Fair point, sir. And, sir, I didn't catch the Forex in the other expenditure line item.
Yeah, there is a exchange loss of about 65 crores, which is part of other expenses.
Right. And the 325 crores Venezuela cash write-off has no impact on the P&L.
No impact on concerned P&L. That flows through FCTR.
Perfect. And there was a Forex in the other income also. I didn't catch that number.
Yeah, for the first 9 months, there was a Forex gain.
Uh-huh.
So for the quarter, when there is a swing, that goes off. So the swing for the quarter is about 135 crore, which goes off. The gain booked in the first 9 months gets reversed, which is a negative year thing in other income. And then on top of that, the balance comes in other expenses.
Perfect. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from IDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. So, again, we started the year around $100 million number for the U.S. base. So, I guess after the way the year has ended, we're pretty much back to around the same numbers for the U.S. business now?
I mean, again, Nitin, I don't want you to look at this with Zetia, without Zetia. Okay, on a consolidated basis, what we are saying is, you know, if we reported something like $550 million, right, for the year, right, we will grow that YOY, right, you know, with or without Zetia. And from there on, even in FY19, we are expecting the U.S. business to continue to grow over FY18, right? So, frankly, you know, there is a price erosion impact which we are seeing, but I think the overall business continues to do well.
But in terms of the kind of the momentum that can drive the business, I mean, what are the kind of opportunities that we're seeing for the year? Because given the erosion, price erosion impact that you're talking about, which will be there on the base business, and the fact that Zetia is going to be much lower than what we booked in this current year, I mean, we're looking at a serious sort of uplift in the numbers in terms of new product launches. So is there any specific visibility that we have on the launches which can take, you know, which can sort of help us to grow on the current pretty large base that we have right now?
So we basically, look, we have some exciting products coming to market. We have almost three or four good derm products with one player or two players in the market, which are filed and are pending approval. We still have products like Colsevelum, Sevelamer, many of the older products. We have Azelaic Acid, which will launch, right, where, you know, we will probably be either sole or one of two on the product. So I think there's a host of products which are currently pending approval, right, which will start coming through in the current year and in the following year.
Okay. And secondly, on the gross margins, you know, the gross margin that we reported in this quarter, I mean, how should we look at gross margins? Because there's been major variation during the quarters for the year. And if you're looking, So, you know, is this the base gross margin one should go with for the going forward, or how should we model in gross margins for the business?
So, Nitin, there is definitely an impact of Zetia out here in the gross margin. So, I think one will need to exclude that and then look at gross margins for that. You know, so we think that the gross margins, you know, should come back to the
I think it'll stay in the same range this year again, Nitin, right? Basically, primarily because we still have some amount of Zetia in this year. But I think on a holistic level, you know, again, gross margins we will sustain as we go forward, you know, even in future years.
Okay, so on the last bit, did we during the quarter take any material sort of charge or chargebacks in the US in the current quarter, which would have pulled down numbers and all a bit? Any exceptional sort of costs which have come on the gross on the COGS side?
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
I mean, are there any exceptional costs on the cost of materials which have hit us this quarter, which probably will not recur as we go through?
Nothing materially exceptional.
Okay. And the last thing on the, you know, you mentioned about the cash. You know, YOY we still have, even if you adjust for the cash flow, which that write-off which you've taken on Venezuela, we still have about 200 crores increase in net debt despite like a 2,000 crore EBITDA. I mean, where exactly, can you help us sort of walk through where has cash got utilized during the year?
So the very, very broadly, if you look at operating cash, that's ballpark in the range of about 1,200 crore. And that goes evenly between asset purchases and working capital change. So the net result in cash flow terms is a negative of about 225 crore for the year.
So 1,200 crores, we had an operating EBITDA of 2,000 crores, right?
Yeah. So if you net off the cash tax and the interest payments, then ballpark you have about 1,200 crore of operating cash.
So, and how much is the cash tax payout for the year?
It's about 700 crore.
700 crores?
Yeah.
Which is very high compared to our, so that's like a pretty high, I mean, given it's 50% of the PBT, almost 40% of the PBT.
Yeah, so if you look at it, you have India, US, which are the more profitable geographies where you end up having a higher tax payout. And there's a significant amount of MAT credit which has also come in during the year, with the benefit of which will come in future years. So that's why you have deferred tax accumulation happening, the benefit of which comes in later years. And there is a front-ended payout in terms of higher cash taxes.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sameer Baisiwala from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for this. You have given a lot of color on the cash flow and the net debt, but then I'm still at loss to understand, because after Q3, you mentioned that the net debt at the end of this year is going to go back to the end of fiscal 16, which is about 3,000 crore. So what exactly happened in these 2-3 months that you did not know, and we are ending up about 650 crore higher net debt?
So one thing which I'd like to highlight is versus last fiscal, the net debt is higher by about 200 odd crores, because we have taken a write-off of 325 crore in Venezuela. So while on the face of it would appear that net debt has gone up by about 550 crore, 325 crore is a write-off of the Venezuela cash which we have taken.
No, that is not the, I don't think you understood the question. We are comparing it not from the end of last fiscal, we are comparing from the end of last Q3 narrative that the company gave. By that time you knew exactly what's happening in Venezuela. So I'm just asking you, versus your last quarter guidance on net debt, why have 650 crores? Why is there 650 crores slip?
No, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah. So versus December to March, if you see, the one big item is actually the Venezuela cash write-off. So while you are looking at a 550 crore kind of,
Did you not know of this Venezuela situation when you gave us that guidance 3 months back?
See, Venezuela position is something which you would review on a quarter-to-quarter basis. And at the end of the year is where we have taken a call that given that there isn't any significant progress which has happened in the government-to-government dialogue, we took a call at the end of March. So this is something which gets reviewed on a quarterly basis. So So this is a call which we have taken at the end of March.
And how do you explain the balance 625 crores?
Balance is about 200 crores, which is purely a timing difference in terms of your asset purchases, working capital, etc.
So I mean, Samir, the difference is only about a 200 crore, okay? Which is, you know, one is of course there is a certain drop in terms of the business itself, right? Q4 was not the greatest quarter for the company, but I think Q1 a lot of that will automatically come through, right? And that's why what we are guiding to is FY18, you will see better cash flows, right, overall, and further reduction in the overall net debt position of the company.
I'm not quite sure, Glenn, where do you get so much confidence on Q1 when you went so horribly wrong on Q4?
So, I mean, I can just tell you what I'm seeing in the business, Samir, right? And based on that, I can guide to what I'm seeing, right, in Q1. So, we clearly believe that Q1 will be a significantly better quarter than what we've seen in Q4. Keep in mind also, I mean, the other parts of the business, right, if you take let's say in India, for instance, right, I mean, we reported 6-7% growth. I mean, a lot of that is because we, preparation of GST, we reduced, our invoicing to the channels. You know, all these kind of, there have been multiple impacts that we've seen in different parts of the business, right, which has led to lower sales in Q4 overall, right, which we think from Q1 onwards, you know, you will see the business come back very strongly. Europe is another example, right. This year we anticipate Europe growth to be strong also. So I think, from Q1 onwards, things will be significantly different in terms of the growth for the company.
We have one final question, which is again, you did not give us too much visibility, but I'll still ask that why is from Q3 to Q4, the U.S. sales are falling so much? I understand the price, the base business pricing, and you and me can both do the math, and that is not really the driving force. With Zetia being almost about a month in December quarter and Zetia being 3 months in March quarter, why should there still be such a big drop in the U.S. sales?
So when you say drop, you mean Q over Q drop?
Sequential. Yes, sequentially.
Yeah, so... I mean, it's a timing issue, okay, Samir, in terms of how much of product was booked in Q3 versus Q4, right? And how much is getting booked in Q1, right? Particularly as
far as... Not right, Glenn. Because your market share remains same, 66%. The addressable market remains same, $2 billion. There's no new additional competitor. Why should there be a timing difference?
Because there is an initial channel inventory which goes through, right, Samir, for obvious reasons, right?
But Glenn, you mentioned at the end of Q3 that the sales that you're booking is almost about a month. Right now you're saying it's about 3.5 months. So where are we missing on the math? Unless in Q3 you booked for 2.5-3 months and very little in Q4.
Samir, we never said in Q3 that the sales was 1 month, okay, whatever sales we did for Zetia. But anyway, I think the point is, what we're effectively trying to say is that you've got to look at Zetia as a total 6 month opportunity, right, and play it accordingly, right?
Okay, that's all from my side. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anubhav Agarwal from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
So thanks for the opportunity. Glenn, one question, one clarity on Zetia. This, what has changed overall? I think our market share to start with was 60%. Has incrementally anything changed since December versus now? Anything on market share? Nothing has changed in market share, at least what IMS says. Anything changed in pricing? That now you're revising down the guidance versus... earlier you were more optimistic?
Not been able to get the kind of market share that we originally anticipated, right? I mean, that's the reality, right? And, we're still at the, 57-odd% market share, right? So I think, what we originally anticipated was the market share would have been higher, right? But it's not coming through.
that's helpful. So, but on pricing, nothing else would have changed, right? Pricing largely would have been similar throughout when you started selling versus now.
Sorry, Anubhav, we missed the question.
Yeah, I was saying on pricing, at least nothing would have changed from the point you started selling and as of now.
No, probably not.
No.
But one point to note is that the inventory of, the inventory that one puts in the channel is based on the assumptions that one takes on market share.
Okay. So, what would be significance of that statement, Jason, in context of when you say you've booked 3.5 months of sales?
So that's what exactly happened when the inventory, the amount of inventory that's there in Q3,
okay,
you base it on a certain market share. That market share doesn't hit, then it will hit in the subsequent quarters.
I think that's very clear. Now, another question in the U.S. Is when you talk about 15% price erosion in the base business, can you roughly, I'm not asking exact spread, but rough sense, which is bigger, is it like the impact coming from more players coming in your portfolio or the impact coming from no external trigger in terms of competition, but the channel consolidation resulting in more impact? Which is bigger out of the two?
So I think first is, Anubhav, just to answer the question, is one must see the first, if you look at, we received 11 approvals in the full year, final approvals. 10 of them came in the first 6 months. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I think clearly in the last 6 months, there were clearly no approvals. Even the last approval that we received was clopidogrel, that is launched in Q1, the last two approvals, which came in the last week. I think that definitely has played a pretty big role, in addition to definitely the increasing competition. We have seen significant increasing competition in the commodity products, as well, there are absolutely no opportunities to take any price increases, which has actually led to this entire price erosion in the second half.
See,
I don't know, Bob, if you want to add anything to this.
Yeah, just a point there, Bob, just 1 second. So let's keep approvals aside because we're talking price erosion here only, right? Price erosion does not include approvals. Right? That decides net growth of the company. Only on the price erosion, my question was that is more impact coming from external triggers, which is more competition coming in the portfolio, or is it the channel consolidation is resulting into bigger impact now?
Well, yeah, I mean, both of those factors are always at play. I'd say, there's a little bit more from increased competition than, say, the channel consolidation. But certainly we're seeing, both sides of that coming into play in terms of the increase in price erosion to 15%.
Okay, that's helpful. Just two clarities on the financials. One is on the... Now, we absolute debt coming down. Our interest cost has not, in fact, further gone up. What's the reason of that? So we were at about 62 crore in the third quarter. Now we are at almost 70 crore in this quarter. Please help with that.
Yeah, the swing which you're seeing on a quarter-to-quarter basis, this is on the back of the options valuation which gets done on the FCCB. So swing which you're seeing quarter-to-quarter is actually on that basis. Otherwise, steady-state actual cash interest is quite steady state.
But with the debt reduction on an absolute level, it should have come, let's say Q1, so just help with that. Q1, what's our rate right now? Let's say no change in the option values further with absolute debt coming down. What kind of quarterly interest rate payments we are running at right now?
Just to share with you, the cash interest for the quarter is about 45 crore.
Which was 49 last quarter, right? So
yeah,
that's the way to look at it, 45
yeah.
crore will continue.
Yeah.
And just one, in you gave a number of 1,200 crore as an operating cash for the full year. Can you also give a corresponding number for last 6 months? That would help.
Okay, I don't have it offhand. I can get back to you on that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Surjit Pal from Prabhudas Lilladher. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Vishal Purohit from PL taking the line from Surjit. Good morning, Glenn and Jason. My question is to Glenn. Glenn, we do understand your vision of the R&D pipeline, what you articulated in the last interactions with us. But the way the street is looking is, and we as an analyst, if we have watched for Zetia the last 6 months, what are the milestones the street or all the analysts or investors like us should be watching for next year? Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me? I think the two key events are the new product launches and the quality of the new product launches and the out-licensing of some of our molecules, which you should anticipate in the coming year.
Anything more specific can we get into from to look for?
Well, we said there are 3-4 major derm launches, right, which will drive growth this year. In addition, in addition to that, we have a number of our molecules which could get out-licensed in the coming year.
Right. Thanks, Glenn.
The next question from the line of Chirag Talati from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. Glenn, if you can help us understand, I'm really getting confused here because your partner Endo is saying that for the rest of the year they expect only $75 to $80 million from Zetia plus Seroquel combined. And you're telling us that, you know, 3.5 months is what you book. So there seems to be a big mismatch because if $75 million equates to 2.5 months of sales, that does not tally.
So there may be some phasing of how the revenues are getting captured, okay? Just so that you know. And I don't know exactly. Go ahead, just.
Can you repeat your question? What you said on Endo? I mean, the numbers, we didn't get the number that you exactly said.
So if you look at what Endo is guiding, they're saying that for rest of the year, they're expecting $75 to $80 million. Actually, from two products, Zetia plus Seroquel, which means Zetia would be even probably lower than that. And if you think that you booked 3.5 months, and if Endo is saying that 2.5 months is actually 75 million, then there seems to be a disconnect in terms of, you know, how or what is captured in your P&L. So that's one. Secondly, you know, also Endo has guided to pricing also being lower compared to their initial expectation. And their haircut on guidance seems to be much larger. So as to kind of, you know, you to reach your lower end of 200 to 250 million. I mean, if you can just help us understand both the points.
So, no, very difficult to comment on what Endo, but I think two comments that are consistent. I think one is that they have revised it downward significantly as per their con call, and that definitely has impacted us also in terms of Zetia. And clearly that is the commentary that we have heard at least. And second is that, you know, there was a pretty high price erosion in the business, overall business, and they have talked of much substantially higher price erosion in their original base business. Again, you know, something that we have also witnessed during the time.
No, but we're also talking about higher price erosion for Zetia. Higher price erosion, lower price and lower market share, both contributing to, you know, this decline in the guidance. So, but you're saying it's only the market share which has been lower. So I'm just trying to understand. Is there potential? What I'm trying to understand is there a potential for further chargebacks that could hit, you know, Zetia sales in the coming quarters?
So for us, I mean, we don't, you know, none of the chargebacks flow to us, right? We just get a net profit share and revenue, you know, from.
But that's the point, right? If they have a chargeback next quarter, your profit share obviously also goes away.
Yeah, look, I mean, we are already at the lower end of the guidance, right? So we don't anticipate going anywhere below this, right?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prakash Agarwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Question on the R&D. So we have seen this run rate moving upwards. So what is the incremental spend that we have done on in this quarter?
You mean in terms of number?
Yeah, I mean, if you see the number YY, it's upwards of 45%. So is there a, it includes any licensing fee that we have given for our, you know, the specialty portfolio that we are working on, or is there a more spend on the NCE, if you could give some color?
Well, look, I mean, clearly the portfolio, you know, given that we have, you know, the nasal spray, which has just completed phase 3. So there are all those expenditures which are sitting in the R&D, which were not there the previous year, right? So completion of phase 3 trials, completion of, you know, product in phase 2. So there's a lot of work going on right now on the specialty portfolio, right, where these products will launch, right, as we go forward.
So going forward for fiscal 18, you guided for about what, 11% plus, 11 to 12% of R&D, and you're talking about higher revenue also. So the absolute run rate is still going to be much higher is what I understand. So I'm trying to understand the EBITDA margin flow when your revenue is growing at 12-15%, R&D remains. So what would drive the margins, if you could just help?
Well, again, the margin improvement, see, many of our businesses, if you look at the rest of the business, right, other than the U.S., many of the businesses have come in lower, okay? So I think, you know, many of these, you know, if you look at, you know, some of the other businesses like Europe, India, all these businesses, right, we're anticipating a good year in FY18, right, which will further help the whole EBITDA profile of the company.
And what's the tax guidance?
Tax, we should look at a rate of about 25% as steady state.
And lastly, on a commentary that Jason made on, we have to look at the inventory. So what I understood from that commentary is that we would have sufficiently, you know, done channel filling in Q3 and book revenues. And Q4, that kind of revenue that we were anticipating has not come in terms of demand. And that's led to, you know, some chargebacks. Would that be fair to understand that?
No, Prakash. So again, one thing you must understand that the revenues that we book is whatever PAR is the marketing partner. So whatever PAR Endo gives us is what we book. The entire marketing and marketing strategy for ezetimibe is determined by PAR. We just book whatever they have given us. So that's all that we can state. All what we try to state is that the anticipated market share that one assumed, what Glenn said, has become much lower than our expectations. That's what we meant.
And would it be fair to assume there would be timing difference in what Indo is stating and you know, monetizing versus what we are doing?
I mean, we can't comment on that, Prakash. Right. Whatever, as Jason said, whatever we get is what we book.
But we remain pretty confident of having a better number in Q1 versus what we have achieved for specifically for Zetia is what I'm trying to understand.
Right. I mean, we are close to the 200 million mark, right? I mean, that's the only visibility that we can give you. So, right.
Okay, thank you. All the best.
Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Jason D'Souza for closing comments.
Thank you. This document and call has been organized by Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited. The information, statement, and analysis made during this call describing the company's objectives, projections, and estimates are forward-looking statements and progressive within the meaning of applicable security laws and regulations. The analysis contained herein is based on numerous assumptions. Actual results may vary from those expressed or implied depending upon economic conditions, government policies, and other incidental factors. No representation or warranty, either expressed or implied, is provided in relation to this presentation. This presentation should not be regarded by recipients as a substitute for the exercise of their own judgment. With this, we end Glenmark's Q4 earnings call. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. On behalf of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.